when an artist presents you with a persona, is that so different from who they really are? Or is that just one part of themselves that they're able to express in a way that they wouldn't be able to if they were showing their real face?
Hey, streamers and dreamers. My name is Otto Kent, and you're listening to The Week by Telecom Electronic Beats. It's Thursday, April 11th, and this is your weekly update on music, culture, and what's next. This week, we're talking music classes on Spotify, the mysterious horse girl, the future of a beloved Berlin venue, Tyler the Creator, and a new database of gender equity projects in music. Spotify adds music courses to their streaming service. In collaboration with existing online resources like BBC's Maestro and electronic music education platform Play Virtuoso, users can access video learning courses directly in the app in four categories: make music, get creative, learn business, and healthy living. And by healthy living, I mean they want you to learn how to use a neti pot. I don't know, we'll figure that one out. For example, Spotify users in the UK can now watch Carl Cox teach a course on how to become a successful DJ without ever leaving the app. For now, you can get two video lessons per course for free, but a full course is extra. That Carl Cox one costs $14.99. There are many questions that Spotify music classes likely won't be covering anytime soon, but we've got one of those looming cues covered in today's deep dive. That question in question is, who is the mysterious horse girl? It's a name you might already be familiar with from her viral Boiler Room set, a TikTok hit, My Barn, My Rules, and her online presence as a horse. Despite there being so much media saddling up around her, we know very little beyond the character and concept. So I invited my friend and regular The Week guest, Krista Bell, into the recording carriage with me to farm opinions on Horse Girl and her place within the current dance music derby at large. Krista, thanks for joining us today. So here's what we know about Horse Girl. Her first release was the 2022 collaboration with MCRT, also a previous guest on The Week, called Farm Fantasies. She goes by Stella Stallion and has created a whole world of farm-focused characters and references and stories for her fans called Farmies to explore, including a Christmas song. She speaks and writes in horse, posts thirst traps on Instagram with a horse mask on, appeared in a Marc Jacobs campaign, and says that she's inspired by the extraness of Lady Gaga, Dolly Parton, and heavy hardcore from the Netherlands and Belgium. She admits that she's pretty new to DJing, but not music. She's mastered the art of the evasive interview for places like British Vogue and Gay Times, and a representative has said of her in the past that she represents a new wave of electronic artists that prioritize the fun and kitschy, that counters the more serious approach that often permeates the electronic music scene. So, am I missing anything?
I walk, I trot, I lope, I gallop. I think you just have to sing her anthem at least once in the introduction. So that's what I can contribute.
I had an early morning leg workout today, which I thought was very appropriate for Horse Girl. Cause you know, it's all horsies are all leg, you know, all thigh, all leg.
Every day is leg day when you're a horse.
So I was working out to nonstop Horse Girl this morning. So I was trotting and thotting.
That is so fun. Do you remember where you were the first time you heard Horse Girl or discovered her music?
I think I must have seen maybe like a Boiler Room or a Hoor or something and saw the horse face and was immediately like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, that's cool. I remember I was throwing a party in Berlin and I was looking on Bandcamp for some fire to play. I was kind of playing this like really late night closing set. And I saw the artwork and was like, you know, what is this? It's this very ethereal horse fantasy on the cover. And without knowing anything about her world building, I just heard this kind of Euro dance, happy hard style song with that refrain, I walk, I trot, I lope, I gallop. And that's that song, My Barn, My Rules. And I played it at the party. And I think most people there, you know, also hadn't heard it. And everybody just thought, what is this? And that was the beginning of my interest.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about trying to put pieces together about Horse Girl, Horse Girl is accountable.
Accountable in what way? Accountable for the art that she's making, or accountable to her audiences, or all of that?
I think there's just, there's a feeling that I get. Like, the lyrics are cheeky in a way that should activate an audience who cares about social justice, cares about, like, gender issues. And you will not get that from Daft Punk or deadmau5.
No, right. So, like you're saying, you know, this idea of artists taking on personas that are so different from their, like, human person is not a new idea. You have, like, we just mentioned, deadmau5, Clapton, Daft Punk, Marshmallow. You know, this is a classic thing, especially in the
Bloody Beetroots.
Yes, especially in EDM. This has been a really big thing. But I think, there are quite a few things that set Horse Girl apart. And I think one of the parts that's the most exciting for me is the crew that she was A&R'd into, Live From Earth. Back in 2014, when Live From Earth was founded in Berlin, it was actually a left-wing punk YouTube channel where the three founding members would film anti-fascism rallies that they were attending in Germany. And that's how they met, like, on a train back from somewhere in Germany. One of them was, like, smoking inside the train carriage, and the, train attendants were looking for him, and he hid behind two chairs with the other two guys, and they would go on to talk and just realize that they had a lot in common. And so they would go to these anti-fascism rallies and record everything with GoPro cameras and little Canon cameras and upload them to YouTube. And these videos ended up getting super popular in Germany, but they didn't have much political appeal, because even, like, the leftist anti-fascists that they were on the side of felt that it was a little too exposing, or maybe didn't do the cause, like, the justice that it deserved. But the videos had such an interesting aesthetic, this kind of on the ground, fast and shaky camera work, that rappers in the area, like Germany and Austria and surrounding, really started to take notice. So they started making music videos for rappers that would approach them, like MC Bomber. And then the rapper that they really took off with was Young Hearn in Austria. They produced the video for his track 9, which was, like, a viral sensation. And Young Hearn asked them also if they would release his music. And that's how they first got into the music game, was kind of through, like, humorous and lo-fi Deutschrap, basically. And those founding members were Lorenz Wirth, Max Rutting, and Elias Hertmann. But as they grew and started exploring more styles of music, collaborating more, that's how they ended up with Live From Earth Club, which is where they explore more dance music, where we see Horse Girl fitting in. But why I bring up this background is because these people and this collective have a very kind of political punk background, which I think gives them a really cool license for exploring pop music and pop aesthetics and this kind of humor, which can come across as very maybe quote unquote unserious or quote unquote girly or whatever it is, but really has some heavy footing underneath it, like you're saying.
Well, that gives me a great opportunity to give you my hottest take, which is that My Barn, My Rules is a protopian, late capitalist emancipation anthem.
Exactly.
Because no horse lives within captivity under their own rules. It's like this, I love, there's so many things going on with that song that have to do with equality, owning your own space, reclaiming space. There, you know, there's, like, all these threads when it comes to, like, the idea of, like, animal rights, or even just a woman's right to control their own sexual space and, like, have fun with it. And I've been actually watching a lot of YouTube videos right now about, like, the theories around romance novels.
Uh-huh.
And so listening back to My Barn, My Rules today, I was like, oh, yeah, this is all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's very interesting about Horse Girl is how she essentially method acts. Like, there's the visual art and there's the performances. But if you do hear her in her, you know, the few interviews that she's done, she's in this character where she is this horse, and she speaks about her early life on the farm, being a musician to the animals, and how that exists in contrast to her experience of performing to the human world. And on a recent resident advisor exchange she did, the interviewer asks, you know, what is the difference to you between the human world and the animal world? And she says, well, I think humans are very hierarchical beings. Humans really put themselves in contrast and opposition to one another and put themselves in a hierarchy that animals don't do. And so that has been very hard to adjust to. So it's like pretty communist thinking, you know? And you can definitely feel that throughout the world building that she's doing. So I think you're right.
So we've mentioned like anti-capitalist, anti-fascist, maybe even communist leanings. Let's talk about identity in relationship to this. Mm-hmm. So, for example, people are obsessed with burial. And part of the burial obsession was that people wanted to know what was happening behind the music. Mm-hmm. And there's like this need for listeners and fans to draw the person out from the mask or the darkness. And then we even have The Masked Singer, which is this super popular reality show where, you know, it's like all about the talent, but then you got this big character, and then eventually, hopefully, you're going to be able to guess who's in there. What's your take on all of that as a cultural moment in relationship to what Horse Girl is doing and their popularity?
Well, I think people are inherently curious, almost to a fault. I think celebrity culture is so much about having somebody be exposed publicly. And I think it frustrates some people to think that a person could be a celebrity while also protecting their personal life, you know? So it's almost like just this need to find out more and more. But I think that's also a genius thing about creating an alias. And if you can manage to keep your personal life private, I think it's a bit like having it all. And I think that's great. I don't have any kind of real interest in discovering who Horse Girl is, because I think that what she's giving us is what she wants to give us as an artist and as an audience member. I'm very happy with that interpretation of who she is. And that also brings up the thing, just one more thought on that, is when an artist presents you with a persona, is that so different from who they really are? Or is that just one part of themselves that they're able to express in a way that they wouldn't be able to if they were showing their real face?
I also just kind of thought about this activated listener conversation happening when someone so clearly is putting on a character and method acting, and you're a part of it, right? Whereas there are other characters where it's a little blurry whether or not this is the actual person you're perceiving or this is the character they've created in front of the person, because it's not as obvious as a horse mask. Mm-hmm. But with Horse Girl, it is very much a, can you hang with the fact that this is what you're going to get from me? And are you fun enough?
Yeah. And I think that relates to, a little while ago, I was watching videos online about the rise of Dada, D-A-D-A, in Gen Z culture. And the Dadaist movement, I think in its modern interpretation with Gen Z, it's escapism culture, right? Like, being born in the Gen Z generation has been super challenging. Like, being birthed into the internet with topics like global warming just chomping at your heels constantly, I think it's no surprise that young audiences want to escape into fantasy and find a place where they can grow up and find like-minded people and just get away from the challenges of the world for a bit. So that is also why I think Horse Girl is so popular. Not only is she providing an entire environment for people to immerse themselves into, they can also participate like you said, her fans call themselves farmies. People are dressing up in this farm gear and going to the shows and finding other people who like this. So it's a bit of communal cosplay too, which gets people excited.
Okay, I want to talk about the gendered nature of the character as well. So there's even one song that kind of like references My Little Pony in a way. There's a lot of pony talk. There's colors. There's like a feminine energy to some of the lyrics and the way it's marketed. But generally, I think what's interesting is the comparison between Horse Girl and, let's say, Deadmau5 is that there is an appreciation of the animal. And I mean, the mouse is not dead here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how not only with Horse Girl, but sort of across how Gabber, hardstyle, Eurodance, and these styles she's riffing on, as they've approached the mainstream more and more, we see a lot of femme-presenting artists taking on this hard and fast music, like with the example of Charlie XCX and her new club record with Addison Rae and co. Like, there's something related. There's a way that Gabber and hardstyle relate to female empowerment in this musical moment. And I think a lot of that has to do with women in the forefront being able to define themselves so much more than they used to be able to, and having fun with that, and also having some aggression along with it. It's like when you're dancing to Gabber, hardstyle, Eurodance sounds, you're really active, right? You're sweating, you're jumping up and down, you might be yelling, you might be hugging, you might be crying. And this blending with those femme identity values has been super powerful.
I love that so much because one of the other things that's been so hard for me to reckon with is growing up during a time when the Ibiza female vocal was such a big part of this sound, but the person behind that vocal either was fully processed and created by some gross Ibiza producer dude and created in a way to almost sexualize the voice of a woman in a track for men. And this new generation of artists, because that sound is such a part of the genres that we're talking about, they're like redoing it, but except Horse Girl is that voice, and Horse Girl has a whole fan base, and Horse Girl has a whole life that is explained, and their voice, and even if it's in that style, is completely reclaimed.
Yeah, I mean, that Ibiza vocal that you just mentioned, it's like, talk about the opposite of a safe space for women, right? Like, that doesn't create a dance floor environment where I would feel empowered or even safe necessarily around the kind of men who are really like, oh yeah, this is a hot track, you know? Maybe, I don't know. I also like would have had to be there to truly say that. I'm sure some of the tracks were unfortunately fire. But I think, in addition to women wanting dance floors which are safe and music scenes which feel comfortable to explore in, I think people who are also not women want that too. I always remember I have friends who were involved in the early days of like UK dubstep, speaking of Burial, and when dubstep kind of evolved from that sound into a more American style of dubstep. And this happened with actually Jungle and D&B too. Sometimes you just get these dance floors which evolve in a way that really prioritize male-presenting people, and women stop wanting to participate in those scenes, and then all of a sudden you just get a whole sea of dudes on the dance floor and everybody's like, why is this party bad? So, and so when you get scenes like this that are really, I think, these women at the forefront pushing what is identity, what is my persona, what is this sound, it not only caters to these great spaces for women to explore in, but also for everybody else to participate in and learn from and, yeah, have fun in.
I imagine it's so fun for people who know the real Horse Girl.
Yeah. So, again, with not without giving too much away about who she is, we have a mutual friend, Shay, who was recently cast in a music video of Horse Girls as a dancer. And the music video was for a Christmas track. So our friend got the callback kind of super last minute. It was almost like, hey, you got the gig. Can you be in vetting in 4 hours? And she was like, oh, okay, I guess I got to do it. It's Horse Girl, right? So she goes out there and they fit her in a skiing outfit and hooves, and she's supposed to be a reindeer. She's like a reindeer on the ski slope or snowboarding slope. And she told me that the woman who was Horse Girl was just a really nice and really quite normal woman. Like, not somebody who is carrying any kind of, I don't know, edge about her, just a nice, stable, cool person who also has an entire career cosplaying as a horse stable. So there's something that I love about that too. Like, in your day-to-day life, if you're a very nice, measured person with a good life and good friends, and you're just kind of chill, and then your artist persona is your opportunity to kind of let your freak flag fly, I think that's super healthy and just a wonderful thing. It makes me want to do it.
That brings me to one of the questions I would really want to ask you, which is, should Horse Girl eventually reveal herself, or do you think that Horse Girl will eventually reveal herself?
That's a good question. I think I would anticipate she'd be more likely to create a second alias than decide that she wants to now be her human person on the forefront of her art. But I think that also taps back into what does Live from Earth have planned in the coming years. You know, they have been blowing up in popularity. One of their artists, Brutalismus 3000, are playing Coachella soon. You can feel kind of echoes of the label and brand sentiment across the pop culture landscape. So I would say that I see Horse Girl working closely with them in whatever their kind of next media and art ventures are, whether or not it kind of serves the greater purpose of their collective work. For her to stay masked or for her to come out as a woman on the forefront.
So I think we both agree that this is genius, right?
Genius may be a bit of a strong word to use, and that's not a discredit to Horse Girl's obvious intelligence. I think her perspective on art that she's boasting is that art doesn't have to be intellectual or academic or dark and brooding for it to be really good. And I think there's subconscious genius in the work, which is why it's so appealing to lots of different kinds of people. But on the surface, it's also just silly and fun. And I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, in art, there's a certain seriousness that art culture can take on, which deserves a lot of respect. And that's because art always carries these kind of histories of socioeconomic and cultural situations, right? Like in the example of Berlin techno, which is what Live from Earth and Horse Girl kind of exist in opposition to, the origins of Berlin techno were super moving. And there was a reason why it was serious. And there was a reason why it was dark. But then after so many years of that existing and so many people trying to copy it, that culture becomes sort of a meme of itself and then becomes a dominating culture that, of course, kids growing up in Berlin would feel the ick about and want to act in opposition to. And that's just one example of these sort of dominating movements that deserve critique and analysis. And that always comes from youth culture. And I think that is exactly where Horse Girl is sitting. She wants to play with the seriousness of art culture and the rigid perspective that we have. And why shouldn't people be allowed to take a video of themselves on the dance floor in their cute little outfit if that's what they want to do? And so while it is sort of critical in one way, it's also very open and invitational. And I think that is what Gen Z is all about, really.
Thanks for joining us, Krista. Now let's get into some more news that mattered this week. comedian Jared Carmichael once fell in love with Tyler, the Creator, and got the slide. The tea on this unrequited love was spilled because Carmichael has a new show called The Jared Carmichael Reality Show, in which he basically tells the whole story about how he got rejected by Tyler. I don't know about you, but my FYP page has been going off about it.
Tyler definitely wasn't feeling him, and it's clear as day.
But it's not news for fans that Jared and Tyler have chemistry. In 2019, Jared was the narrator on Tyler's album Igor, which is basically about a love triangle and unrequited love.
I feel like you left me hanging out there a little bit late.
Like when you said that, I think I replied with like something super mad, normal, regular. Like
you laughed and called me a stupid bitch.
I did. Yeah, I did.
So, as expected, there was a huge range of positive and negative reactions to Carmichael putting his friend on the spot. This particular scene and others in the show are crazy awkward. At one point, Carmichael even cheats on his boyfriend while on camera. But this Carmichael story thread is just the latest chapter in Tyler's own one-of-a-kind journey to topping the charts and hearts of both the mainstream and the underground rap world as unapologetically bisexual, even if he's never identified publicly either way. Berlin's long-running YAM venue has secured a 30-year lease. This is major, and here is why. Firstly, scoring a permanent contract for any independent venue is usually a rarity. We have discussed many threats to venue longevity here in the past, be it the A100 freeway extension or the exploding costs of doing business. But secondly, YAM itself is a unique institution in Berlin nightlife, mostly because they book a range of musical acts that don't get as much play at other venues, such as reggae, dub, dancehall, and much more. The intention to represent Black culture is even built into the name. YAM stands for Young African Art Market. They opened in 1994 and since then have moved between multiple spaces, but they can now officially say they will stay in the current location, a sprawling complex in Friedrichshain, for the next 30 years. The Genie database has launched. Genie stands for Gender Equality Networks in Europe, and it catalogs more than 300 projects in 25 countries dedicated to gender equality and equity in the music industries. Whew, that's a mouthful. The project was founded by activist and researcher Grace Goodwin, who told Music Ally that this project is about highlighting the amazing work across Europe that is supporting women who want to take up space in the music industry. Right on. It feels important to have a centralized resource of the various overlapping and intersecting projects in various countries and communities, and the database is a big tent, including producer courses, festivals, and radio shows, alongside more traditional projects. Shout out to the German crews on there like Femme Bass Mafia, Heroines of Sound, Room for Resistance, and Saffron Records, or the Jaguar Foundation in the UK. Not only do we love to see the ongoing issue of gender equity in the music industries being fought for so actively across Europe, we love to see it being so well documented and shared for future research and collabs. If your initiative or collective isn't on there, you can submit it for inclusion now. Links in the show notes. Speaking of love for women and equality in music, I would like to take a second to send out my deepest to DJs K-Man, Foxman, and Cora, who bravely spoke out online about being targets of a homophobic attack last weekend in Berlin. A reminder to take care of your rave crew this spring, to look out for each other, and if your favorite DJs aren't afraid to be proud of who they are, neither should you. So that's all for the week this week. Thanks for locking in. Next week, Kikolomo will be back as our host, interviewing the co-founders of one of the most important electronic music festivals in America. So keep your ears open. The Week is a production by Telecom Electronic Beats and ACB Stories.